Hey, good morning, everybody. Listen, I want to jump in with a couple things to celebrate. First of all, you might have saw the video we put out there this week. We put it on Instagram. It ends up on Facebook as well. But in the last about 3 weeks, we were able to save about $73,000 on the project. And that's huge. A couple of ways had to do with the dirt work and some things that didn't have to be done. Others was the price they charge us for trucking a ton of that dirt, more than a ton, literally. Anyway, but okay. And then the other had to do with like an insurance rider and that coming in lower than we thought. But that's a huge amount. And I just wanted to share that with you because we're about 7 weeks away from grand opening, and so we're getting closer and closer, but that was a cool thing to report, so there's that. And then we had a pastor and his wife here this morning from up in Burlington, and we're good friends, and he came and just checking things out, and he was one of the churches, and we had a couple do this, that actually gave us a check during Miracle Sunday about a year and not quite a half ago to get this project going, and they gave 10 grand. He was here and just checking it out. It was just super cool. So just the generosity and partnership and things like that, to me, that's worth sharing, and I just rejoice in God's goodness because it's coming along. So November 10th and 17th are the grand opening dates. It's two weekends. Encourage you to invite some neighbors, friends, family, whomever, and we're going to have a fun time celebrating God's goodness and getting the gospel out there. So make sure you bring somebody along with you. Also want to mention this. There was one portion of the project that I took upon my shoulders personally, and it was the landscaping. And if you look around, I haven't done a good job. Anyway, so no, but what happened was a few weeks ago, kind of everything sort of fell through on the timing of getting that going. And so I've had some people ask me already, like, well, what's happening with that? And it is happening. We do have some dates. Those will be put out there tomorrow by email, but we would love to have you sign up. We need a crew of probably 40 to 50 people over the span of a few days because we got a bunch of trees, bushes, plants, things like that to put in the ground. It's happening at the end of October and beginning of November, which is right up towards our grand opening. So we would love your help with making that happen. We'll get the word out. You can sign up. And if you already did, I've already got you on a list to get an email to you. So anyway, that's what's going on. And like I said, mark your calendar for the grand opening because it is coming fast. We're in a series called Get in the Game today, and we're going to be in Romans chapter 12. How many of you have seen models on a runway before? Now, some of you don't want to admit it. I'm not talking weird, okay? Bear with me here. But like, you ever see people, they're wearing like really odd stuff that nobody would ever wear in public, and you wonder like, why do they do that? And again, our thoughts are kind of strange about it. Like, I don't get the whole idea of doing a runway. What are they thinking? I wouldn't dress like that. The only person in the Bible I was thinking of that might would be John the Baptist with his weird coat of camel's hair and belt and like bugs in his teeth kind of thing up on the runway. But bear with me. You've probably never pictured Jesus on a runway, and rightly so. Don't walk out and get mad at me. Just hold on here. Prophetically, Isaiah in chapter 53 said he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. And instead, what we understand based on Isaiah's prophecy, but also looking at the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is that Jesus didn't have beauty or majesty. What he had was the ability to sacrifice himself so that you and I could be forgiven. That's the message of the good news. That's the gospel of Christ, that we don't find forgiveness on us doing all the right things or measuring out good versus bad and trying to outweigh it. We find it in surrender to the message of the gospel. Jesus said in Matthew 20, verse 28, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And that's what we understand, again, central to being people within the church is this picture of surrender to what Jesus did. He gave his life as a ransom for you and for me, and all the sin we've ever committed and ever will commit. Is anybody else grateful for that besides me? And so that's central to the gospel. The other part of what he said in Matthew 20, 28 is simply this. I did not come to be served, but to serve. And so while Jesus isn't a supermodel, Jesus is our model. And he gave us the way to live that extends the grace and love of our Heavenly Father to a world back then that desperately needed it. And we believe, if we're followers of Christ, to a world today that still does need it. And so what I want to talk about is that you and I, while we don't give our lives as a ransom for many, we are called to lay down our lives. And we are called to, as Jesus said, not be served, but to serve. Everybody say serve. That's the heart of our Heavenly Father for every single person in the room, every single person watching online right now. He wants us to serve and be part of what he calls the body of Christ. We'll get to that in a moment. If you're taking notes, write down Ephesians 2:10. And it says this, for we are, each one of us, we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God prepared in advance for us to do. And that's the nature, again, of who we are. If you're taking notes, write down Galatians 5:13. And this one says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. We've been set free by the work of Christ on the cross and the acceptance of his forgiveness. We're called to be free. He says, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. And then he gives the answer, rather serve, there's that word again, rather serve one another in love. And so there's these different spots where the writers of the New Testament are going to challenge us to do what we're called to do. And Romans chapter 12 is another one of those spots. If you ever want a brief synopsis on how you and I, as people within the church, are meant to operate, Romans chapter 12, the whole chapter, gives a beautiful picture, kind of piece by piece, to the individual, to the group, to the humility, all this stuff. Romans 12 is incredible. I want to take a look a little bit this morning at verses 4 through 8, and it says this, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give it generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Let's pray, and then we'll get into this today. God, thank you for the scriptures. Thank you for what Paul gives us here. And I pray for each of us to walk this journey through the work of your spirit of being convinced of your conviction challenging us, creating a tension in our hearts that doesn't allow us to sit on the sidelines, but to get in the game. And so we surrender this time, these moments, what we talk about here to you, pray that you would awaken in each of us how you would have us respond. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, you can read Romans 12, it's a great chapter, but when you get to verse 4, Paul says, for each of us, he's talking to every single one of us, for just as each of us has one body with many members. And he's bringing an analogy that we can all understand, because we're in here and we have fingers and arms and heads and ears and feet and all these things. And so we get it, like that's the body. There's all these parts. He says, we have one body with many members. And then he says, these members do not all have the same function. Again, simple to understand. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. It's important that you wrap your head around this. Paul compares the church to a body. And you may go, I've heard this, I know this, I can kind of tune out, put the game on, whatever you might be doing, feel free to turn it off and pay attention. Anyways, but Paul compares the church to a body. Lots of people gifted and functioning in different capacities, but connected to each other. So there's meant to be within the body of Christ a connectivity to one another, and there's not a person in the room that's exempt from this conversation, because we all are meant to belong in Christ. Now, some of you that know the Bible might go, why didn't you use 1 Corinthians chapter 12? Because Paul goes into even further detail about the body. And the reason today was because of the simplicity of what I want to explain. But if you want to take notes and write down 1 Corinthians 12, study it later in the week. It's awesome. In 1 Corinthians 12, he goes into a whole conversation about how the body isn't supposed to argue with itself. And he literally, and he's being absurd, kind of says, you know, don't say, well, I wish I was the leg, or, you know, you're lesser because you're an internal organ, or you barely belong because you don't do as much, or you aren't as important as I am when it comes to being part of the body. Paul says, stop with unhealthy comparisons. He challenges us, look, we all belong. There isn't a hierarchy with pride involved. We all have our functions. That's the way it's intended to be, and they're all necessary. When our bodies are operating in a healthy way, then we can accomplish whatever it is we need to accomplish. But think about when you have an injury, something is broken, a disease is there, you're not able to function in a way that would be normal. Paul is saying the same thing. And in 1 Corinthians 12, he says, when the body is arguing like this, it's not functioning healthy. In fact, and you know this, when our actual bodies fight themselves, it's typically called disease. When our bodies fight themselves, the word cancer comes into the equation, and all of a sudden this dread falls on us when some of you have had to battle cancer. And when that happens in the church as an idea, what does it look like? And many of us, unfortunately, are maybe familiar with conversations about church splits, about power plays between pastor and board, or board and pastor, and fighting and manipulation, about affairs that can happen relationally, and that's not okay, but it happens in church, and oh man, staff silos, where you have this team and that team, and they do this and they do that, and you do your thing and I'll do mine, and we fight for resources and we fight for calendar space, and there isn't really an agreement or a camaraderie. And thankfully, those don't exist here, and I am proud to say that. Thankfully, at the Grove Church, I can say this, and I didn't put this in my notes on purpose, but in our board meeting on Wednesday, and we have a monthly board meeting and board members, one of the things I shared as a devotional about how we operate as a team is this. In John 13, Jesus says, they will know that we're followers of Christ by our love one for another. And one of the things I feel incredibly proud of at the Grove Church is that, for example, on any given Sunday, in our WhatsApp group as a staff, there's a text that will sometimes go out and say, hey, we had certain people call in, they weren't able to help, can somebody help in Grove Kids? Or hey, we got a spill over here, and can somebody help with that? Or we got a need outside and something happened, can somebody help? And inevitably, some staff member will step up and go, hey, I can be there, let me help out. And there are not staff members going, not my job, not my problem, I'm not gonna do that. Also, as a board, and again, you hear about weird stuff that happens on boards. In fact, when we go through board training as we're bringing people onto our board, and we do it every year, one of the things that gets asked sometimes is, hey, I hear about boards, and in church boards, things get weird. How does your board operate? And they're afraid at the idea of getting on the board, and people have even said to them, well, be careful, because when you see behind the scenes, you're not gonna like it. And I am proud to say that I love that we have a great board that challenges our processes. They're not just a bunch of yes people. Challenges our processes, help us get better. But we have great and respectful relationship, to the degree where, like I said, on Wednesday I shared a bit, like, I feel very proud to have a team as a staff, and we have a board and key volunteers, that we're not infighting and we're not competing with one another, and we don't have some level of hierarchy where I'm better and you're better and they're not as good and whatever else. We don't have that. In fact, one of the things also is oftentimes in church world, people serve on a board, see what really goes on behind the scenes, and then when they're done with the board term, leave the church. And again, I would say, thankfully, we don't have that. I love how in the picture that Paul paints of this idea of, look, we belong together, we're connected together under Christ. There's a unity with us, and it doesn't mean we're always perfect. It doesn't mean things always go perfectly smoothly and wonderful, because we're human, but I would say I feel proud as a church that this is how we operate, this humility and servanthood and grace. And I want to hone in on that word for a second, because Paul says this, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. And so first of all, and as we know this with the body, each of us is wired differently. Each of us has different gifts, and that's okay, and that's a good thing. But then Paul uses this word that we can go, why does he say it that way? According to the grace given to each of us. Why does Paul use the word grace? And it's because, and listen carefully, when you and I operate in the ways that we're gifted and called, it's a display of God's grace to each other and to a world that looks on. Did you hear me? That when we operate the way that we're each called to operate, connected in unity to the body of Christ, it's a beautiful picture of the body of Christ to one another as we respectfully do what we do together, but also to a world that looks on. Unfortunately, in the world that we live in, the world can look on at the church, and what do they often see? All kinds of infighting and all kinds of backbiting. And if it isn't happening within a local church body, it's happening between this church and that church. And they're somehow in competition, and they're dissing them, and they don't do it right, and we do it right, and they don't get it, but we get it, and we're better. And that shouldn't happen either. So the world looks on and goes, why would I want to be a part of an organization that they backbite and they're constantly in competition and they're never content with one another? I am proud to say yes. As a church, I believe we have an incredible unity, and let's keep praying that stays that way. Amen? I will also say, and I'm proud to say it, that the churches that we have connection with in Marysville and the surrounding communities and Lake Stevens and Grant, all that, we have great relationship. And I love that. Just the other day, I was downtown, and I ended up having a conversation with a guy that I didn't know at all. And I just mentioned a couple things about the community right there. And he goes, how do you know this stuff? How do you know them or whatever? And I go, well, I've been part of the community for a long time. And he goes, well, where do you work? And I don't necessarily out myself like I'm a pastor, right? I just say, well, I work downtown kind of north of here. And he goes, well, what do you do? And so then I said, well, I'm a pastor. He goes, oh. He goes, I go to Life Point. And he points at it because it's just within, you know, view of where we're standing. He goes, I got a Life Point. And I go, man, it's the newest church, basically probably the newest church in Marysville. I go, man, you guys need to leave because we're already here. I didn't say that. You guys are like, oh my gosh, he said that? You're like, exit, two to the front, two to the side. Okay, I didn't say that because I wouldn't say that. You know what I said? That church used to be the kind of gathering or organization of people that they didn't necessarily center themselves on Christ, and I love to see it become a church again. And he began to talk about some of the team that were there and who they are. So I've heard the name. I haven't met them yet, but we have great relationship. I'm glad that they're here. We're not the only thing in town, and we shouldn't be. I love how Craig McLaughlin up at Generations. I love how Rick over here at AC3, Pastor Aaron up at Foursquare. We have great relationship among one another. We meet once a month and have lunch together and pray and encourage each other all the time. We aren't in competition. This is a picture of how the body of Christ is meant to operate. And let me just take it a step further. In the world that we live in, that all the more is polarized, and in the world that we live in where there's partisan politics that are chewing our society apart, I've said before, we are not going to fall prey to that. Absolutely, you guys, I am trying to help you have a Christ-centered worldview. I challenge you all the time to be studiers of Scripture, and you're always forming your worldview and what you do based on understanding your faith and processing through Christ is you look at what's going on in our world and go, there's ballot measures to be voted upon. There's candidates, and we watch the debate a few days and go, is this the best we can do for real? Okay, but anyways. And we vote accordingly, and I'm all for that, and you should do that, and I think it's important and great. Nevertheless, we are not going to fall prey to partisan politics and lose our head if somehow our candidate doesn't get voted in or that ballot measure doesn't go the way we want it to go. Why? Because we still have a God who is sovereign and at work, and even though we don't always understand everything, and yes, we have our civic duty, and we should do those things, we're not going to lose our heads like that. Why? Because the world is looking on, and when we walk out our grace gifts, the world can go, hey, I might not agree with you about this. We may not settle on the same side of whatever aisles there might be about this topic, but I'm not going to defame you and unfriend you and slander you and talk bad about you and walk away from you, because that's not the way it works. You want to talk about being the body of Christ. You want to talk about walking out the grace gifts. Part of it is understanding as the world looks on and they see something beautiful, what happens? How do I be a part? How do I show up? How do I keep my head like you're keeping your head? How do I have peace like you have peace? How are you doing that? And so the world looks on. Paul says we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. And we've all been gifted to take part. Our passion here is to help everybody who calls this place home to understand this. And if you're relatively new and you're kicking the tires trying to figure out if this is a great church home or not, I understand it's a process. And maybe you've only been here a few weeks or just kind of this summer or whatever. And I would say, hey, take your time, figure it out, pray all that stuff, great. If we can help you, we want to. That's actually what Pizza with the Pastors today is about. Why do we do what we do? How do we do it? So join us. It's at 1:15. Anyway, shameless plug. Okay. But the idea of understanding, like, why do what we do is a big deal. And we have different statements that we use. And you hear some of these sometimes. I'm just going to explain them as briefly as I can. But one of them is from our code, which is our core values. And we used to have them on the wall. And with the renovations, we took them down for now. We'll put them back up as we get through the renovations. But one of our codes says this. We give up things we love. And you've heard this before if you've been around. We give up things we love for things we love even more. The church does not exist for us. We are the church and we exist for the world. And that can sound like a weird way to put it, but I believe passionately in those phrases because oftentimes when organizations come together and create whatever bylaws and become a club or a society or whatever that is, usually it's to benefit themselves. The church is actually the opposite. Somebody years ago once said it this way. The local church is the only organization that exists in the world for the sole purpose of its non-members. Amen. Isn't that weird? Like, why would they do that? And the reason we would do it is because we want a world to see God's grace. We want a world to realize we don't exist for us. It's why we do something like Back to School Bash a few weeks ago. And go, how do we help the world see God's grace? Oh, kids don't have school supplies? Let's do backpacks. Amen. And y'all rose to the challenge. And we were able to give away, during the event, over 1,600 backpacks a few Thursdays ago. And you go, well, what about the 300 and some that were left over? Because we have partnership with other organizations. We heard that they had need. Hey, 50 backpacks over here. Send them. 100 over here. And now we have, I think, maybe a couple dozen left. If there's still any kids that don't have school supplies, let us know. We got a little bit left. Why would we do that? Because we want the world to see God's grace on display. Why would we do iHeart? You go, what is iHeart? Some of you were part of it. It's a 4-day outreach where literally in January, Teresa, Evan, some of our key leaders literally make phone calls to city governments, parks and recs departments, and school districts. And here's what we say. Hey, is there anything on your list you can't seem to get done? And how many know the list is often very long? Right? And we go, we can't do everything. But if you were to prioritize the list, what can we do? How can we serve you? And so iHeart, from Marysville to Everett and Lake Stevens and Granite Falls and Arlington and Stanwood and Tulalip, we take on projects. Why? To help display God's grace to a world that we believe needs it. iHeart, fight hunger. It's coming up in a few weeks. Let me challenge you. Go buy a sack full of non-perishable food items or carve out a little bit of cash, and by October 13th, we're going to do Fight Hunger. What do we do? Whatever we gather resources-wise financially for it, and whatever we bring in as non-perishable food items, Marysville Community Food Bank gets 100% of it. Why? Because kids don't get the food they need. Families are starving, and that's not okay. So we partner with them. Why? Because we want people to see God's grace. Why do we do the gift during Christmas? Because we don't want any kids to go without Christmas gifts. It's not okay. Every kid needs a few gifts. So we do that during the Christmas season. Why do we do the neighborhood every Tuesday at 5:30 and 6:45, a free meal for the community? Why? Because we know that there's people that need community, but that wouldn't necessarily show up on a Sunday. So Tuesday nights over at the Marysville Historical Society and a great team of volunteers, and some of you are in here right now, make that happen so that people can find community and God's grace on display. Why do we do tutoring every Wednesday and now actually Thursday as well? And they get a free meal Wednesday and free tutoring all over the community. You can come and kids can get tutored. Why? Because we want kids to feel successful. And when they feel successful, it means they can feel loved. And we want that because it's God's grace on display. We got great people that teach, including this guy right here, Josh. Teaches math and tutoring. He's a teacher, but that's what he does. I don't know why my son's calling me, but anyway. What are you doing? You want me to answer it? No, I'm not going to answer it. Why do we do these things? And there's others. Because we believe it shows God's grace. We don't have, as a church, we don't have a purpose statement and a mission statement and a vision statement. And I've said this before. We basically have one way we say it. Purpose, vision, mission, all of it. Love God, connect with each other, serve all. And you see it again. What does that mean? Real quick. Love God. There's a God who cares so much about you that Jesus went to the cross for your sin. That's what I said earlier. Okay? What he wants is for you to surrender. What he wants is you to believe that he loves you that much, and you go, Lord, I surrender myself to you. Love God. That's how you do that. Baptism. 49 people last Sunday getting baptized. Love it. It's awesome to see. Again, people go, how do I love God? I'm taking a step and going public with my faith in baptism. We celebrate that. So love God, connect with each other. And you're going to hear in a few weeks from now about some of those connections and life group. We got Grove Men coming up September 23rd, a great step you could take if you're a guy. Great meal. We got a speaker that I respect like crazy who's going to be speaking that night. It's going to be awesome. If you're a guy, show up Monday night next week. Not this week, next week. Anyway, connect with each other and then serve all. And we do take that seriously. And you guys see it all the time. And I love how our hearts are. How do we serve and love our community well? So there's all kinds of ways that we do it. Why? I know I've said it and you're tired of hearing it, because it's God's grace on display to a world that we want them to get it. We want the light bulbs to come on. There's a God who cares that much. That's why. It's not enough for us to circle the wagons here and do this thing and go home. No, how do we make a difference? And so those external serve opportunities, there's internal. And you guys see some of these. You got host team right here. I met four different people today that are serving brand new for the first time today. Okay, that's awesome. Security and host team members. But there's all kinds of ways to serve. There's people that are gifted in music. Some of you need to jump in. There's people that are doing the media stuff in a room over down this way that are making stuff on the screen happen. People in the booth over here, Grove Kids, host team, parking, security, Grove Youth, all kinds of ways to get dialed in. You have been gifted by God to take a step, to do something as part of the body of Christ. And I want to challenge you to believe it. And then to take a step and do something about it. I'm going to get to what that means specifically in just a moment. But we say again, language you hear, it takes all of us for we to win. It's not just a few of us. All of us for we to win. As a church, we talk as a team when we're talking about events that we do and ways that we try to make a difference. One of the questions that we ask regularly, if your church were to disappear from the community today, would it even notice? And we always want that answer to be a resounding yeah. Not because we're trying to make ourselves out to be some macho thing, but because we care deeply about a world that needs Jesus. Amen? It's why we would even build a new auditorium that's bigger than this one. It's why we would want to make room. It's why we would do the uncomfortable thing and go, well, we got a shuttle because we don't have parking spaces. And thank you to everybody that's shuttling, because it's helping make a difference, whether you see it or not. But this whole picture of why we do what we do, it means, and Paul says it, it should involve you as well. And again, if you've been here for a length of time and you're going, this is where I want to put down some roots and grow, this is where I want to be, I want to challenge you to take a step. Because Paul goes on to say, and he's just going to give a simple list. There's a bigger list in Corinthians 12. If your gift is prophesying or declaring God's word, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then do it generously. If it's to lead, be diligent. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Paul is saying we all have our place. In the words of a pastor named John MacArthur, he says this, not to use our gifts is an affront to God's wisdom, a rebuff of his love and grace, and a loss to his church. We did not determine our gift, deserve it, or earn it, but we all have a gift from the Lord, and if we don't use it, his work is weakened and his heart is grieved. In other words, when we don't use our gifts, when we don't get in the game, when we sit on the sidelines, our faith is damaged, the church loses, kingdom work is weakened, and his heart is pained. And that's the truth. That's why we're challenged to take a step. It grows our faith when we get involved. It encourages us to continue on the journey of maturity, because those are the steps that he's asking of us. Let me ask you this. What if we all took that call seriously? What if we believed that Jesus wanted us to get in the game? What if there were plenty of help when it came to kingdom advancement within our community? What would that mean? Because most organizations fall prey to what's called the 80-20 principle. Anybody heard this before? 80% of the work gets done by 20% of the people. 80% of the giving gets done by 20% of those giving. 80% of the organization is moved forward by 20% of those involved. And some organizations, it's the 85-15 or the 90-10. It just has to equal 100. That's the key. But honestly, let's continue to fight against the idea that a small group of people does all the stuff. Because what if, as I asked, you took it seriously, what would be the result? I would say this. Those that you love and pray for, those that you care about, could be more easily reached. And wouldn't that be amazing? The capacity of the church body could grow. And please hear me. This isn't about becoming some mega church. Couldn't care less about that. But I do care about a community that doesn't know Jesus yet. Right? That's what we're called to do. The leadership team would have more joy and peace instead of scrambling to find people to fill certain roles. Our faith, and I guarantee this, would personally grow. And that's the story of a lot of people at the Grove Church. I got involved and I began to see things differently, and it was amazing to see the joy and the sense of transformation that began to happen in me. And then finally, and I do love this one, the heart of our Father would beam with joy. It's not that he's scowling at us all the time, but it is that, man, I just want to please God with all my heart. I want to be and do what he's called me to do. Anybody ever been on a sports team before? 7 of us? Right? Little League counts. Doesn't have to be like, you know, UW Dogs or whatever. I played baseball at Cedar Field in Marysville a long time ago in a galaxy far away. And I was the one that would sit on the bench. And it was only because it was required by the rules of Little League, every kid had to play every game. The coach would look at me and go, "Hey, you're in." And I would grab my glove and go running out to right field. And you're like, "Yeah, you were right field. That makes sense." Okay. I played right field. But there's something about being called up to play. And again, I don't know how you were wired when you played sports, but if you loved to be in the game, there's something about being called off the bench to get into the next play. About doing what you feel like you were wired to do to get in there and make a difference in the game, change the score in one way or another. And in the same way, when it comes to kingdom advancement, you guys, to live in a Christ-centered way means Jesus is calling you to get in the game. So let me end with this. In the seat in front of you, it says, "Get plugged in." There's some cards there. It's on the screen as well, and some of you are familiar with the QR code, but the general idea is open the camera app on your phone, put it over this QR code or that one there, and it'll bring up a link for you to get in the game. I want to make this as easy as I can. If you do it, it will take you to our website. You can also just go to grove.church. The front page link says "Get in the game" and click on it, and you can fill out a simple little survey. And by the way, for some of you that are afraid of this, and what does it mean, and are you going to make me change diapers every day, or what do I have to do, or whatever? No. We have great leaders that are going to take you on a journey of exploring how are you wired and gifted, and then help you find that area of ministry, and then help you flourish by training you into it. We call it an on-ramp. I'll just drop you in there like, "Here's your badge and here's a bunch of kids. Go nuts," right? We're not going to do that. We want to help you get dialed into where nobody's going to get a guitar and start singing a song unless you're good at it. Except for me. Sometimes I accidentally do that, but I get a free pass somehow, and then you throw up. Okay. But I want to challenge you to take a step. And all the more, honestly, all the more as we move towards a grand opening and continue to want to make a greater difference. God has called us to this. And obviously, it's not just us in this church. There's great churches all over that are wanting to make a difference. But as we look to continue to make a great difference, it takes all of us for we to win. Amen? Father, today I pray you would help us take a simple step. That as Paul would say, and Jesus, as you reminded us as our perfect model, you said, "Hey, I didn't come to be served, but to serve and give my life." And yes, we're called to lay down our lives, not as a savior, but as somebody who loves enough to say, "I don't need my agenda as much as I want another agenda. And the agenda we want is yours, Lord." And as Paul tried to explain it in detail to the church in Rome, but also in detail to the church in Corinth, we are all wired and gifted to be part of the body. I pray for that tension in us to take our place, to take the steps we need to be involved, that we're not on the outside looking in. We're part of the movement. In Jesus' name, I pray. And everyone said amen.